evening. Chuck had prayed that we might be built up and encouraged. And it's my hope that with the thoughts that I'll share with you this evening, that we will be built up in the faith and will be encouraged to press on in the work and in our walk with the Lord. If you'd like to turn with me, we'll just start out by looking at Ephesians chapter 4. Got a verse there. Regarding the gifts given to men. Ephesians 4, chapter, verse 11, excuse me. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I wanted to start there only because the thoughts that follow are built on the fact that I've come to the conclusion within my own life that perhaps maybe at one point I never wanted to admit it, but I do believe that the Lord has given me the gift of evangelism. Now, we've heard in recent weeks that evangelism does include more than just giving the word out, that it talks about discipling and harvesting. And back early in the summer, I started out dragging my feet about the whole thing and never really coming to terms with the fact that the Lord has given me this gift. There was a point where I wasn't going out to preach the gospel because I was waiting for the Lord to send me someone. But yet I had the whole summer planned of activity and of work to do. But yet here within my own neighborhood, I was hesitating to go out into the streets or to go out and do what the Lord was really burdening me to do. Well, I was off 4 weeks this summer, doing different things, traveling, involved in many different forms of ministry. And, you know, it says here that the evangelists are involved in the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And you know, I can see how teachers and pastors could be involved in the edification of the body and the building up of the body of believers. But what about the evangelists? For those maybe that are burdened to be out there, to be speaking with those that don't know the Lord, or to go out and to face whatever the Lord has out there. Well, you know, why don't we do this to begin with? Let's go into the book of John, and I want to just take a look at in the book of Acts, chapter 8, and I want to take a look at a few things that surround the life of Philip. As best I can tell, he's the only one that's been labeled as an evangelist. He's actually called Philip the Evangelist. And we don't really find any teaching from Philip, but we do find the activity of his life. We can learn things from the activity of his life. And we've all found great encouragement as we think about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. We all reflect back on that. We don't find teaching per se, but we do find the working in the life in the Lord working in this individual's life, and see the activity surrounding it and the way that he's moved him. And as we think on that, you know, aren't we built up and aren't we challenged as we reflect on that? Well, just looking at a few verses, Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. This is after Philip had been chosen as one of the seven. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ. He went down into the city. What we find not only in the life of Philip, but we find throughout the book of Acts, is we often find this very narrow message that's given the preaching of Christ. Well, I was challenged very early in the summer. I had gone up to Rochester and given out tracts with those guys up there, and one thing that I did notice is that there were times when I would hand out tracts, and it was as if I wanted to spare myself of the shame maybe associated with giving out God's Word. You know, there are times perhaps when we might give out a tract and think, well, maybe they don't even know what they're getting, but that's okay, it's just as well, let them walk and they won't even know. I won't be identified with the message that I'm giving them. Maybe this tract's a little hard-hitting, but, you know, let them go on their way. And there was a measure of me that did not want to face the shame or the associated with giving out God's Word. And you know, as specific as this is, I was regarding preaching Christ, some of the guys around me, as they give out God's Word, they would say, this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you like to read this? This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always thought to myself, boy, that's a bold way. That's certainly a difference from the way in which I'd be giving out God's Word. I felt as though, and I had to examine my own life as to regarding the shame that I was not willing to suffer for the Lord. And you know, as I began to, we would think it would be just the opposite. We would think that maybe that's not the best way to give out God's Word that way, so boldly like that. But I noticed that as I began to do that and to begin to admit before the Lord, Lord, I am ashamed. Lord, forgive me for not wanting to admit as to why I'm out here, that these people might come to know you, Lord. And so I would give out God's Word, and I continued to do it up until this time, giving out God's Word and saying, this explains the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And you know, I have so many people saying, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, wouldn't you expect the opposite? But I sometimes think that's the wisdom of God in our willingness to suffer shame, that He like blesses, that He like encourages us in our giving out of the Word. You know, before I get to some of the things that really what I wanted to do was to share with you some of the activities that I've been involved in this summer. But before I do that, I think it'd be good to remind us of something that maybe we're all familiar with. And it would be the scripture verse that we could use to support the thinking that I've just shared with you. Turn with me back into the book of John chapter 12. You know, there's a couple of times in the Gospel of John where it speaks about fear. In John chapter 12, verse 42 is a verse. A couple of the times it speaks as to how no one spoke openly about the Lord Jesus for fear of the Jews. They didn't speak openly. In other words, they were silent or even secret regarding their association with the Lord. But I think the clearest reason for this is in John chapter 12, verse 42, and it reads, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." And then here it is, "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And you know, I think we need to be mindful of the fact that we have a nature about us whereby we desire to receive the praise of men. We want to be accepted before our peers. We want to be accepted to that world out there. You know, I wanted to be accepted even in front of these strangers that wouldn't even know me from anybody else. It was as if I had the sense about me, an innate sense, to want them to like me, or at least for a moment to think well of me. Actually, there are several times in throughout the book of Acts that even Paul himself speaks about the fact that, about him being weak and trembling. It says, in 1 Corinthians 2:3 it says, "For I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." The Apostle Paul with us, with them in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. The Apostle Paul, weakness and fear. Well, we can be encouraged. You know, sometimes I'll talk to people and they'll say, "Oh, Jeff, he's not afraid. He'll say anything anytime." Well, I can tell you, there are times when I'm as silent as a mouse, and you couldn't guess I'm a believer. I don't know why it is. Sometimes I'll be quiet. I won't say a word. But there are other times where you can't stop me, and I don't know why it is. I do know that this whole idea of boldness, it is not a gift. Paul prayed for boldness. He just said here he was weak and in fear and in trembling. And there's several occasions in Scripture where Paul speaks about his prayer for boldness. And throughout this summer, I had many different types of experiences whereby, I'd seen things and learned things, saw myself in situations and saw the Lord working in situations that I think, in light of the work of the evangelist, that it can build up the body, that we can be encouraged from it. One of the verses that I'll just share with you before I speak on those things, as Paul would do these missionary journeys, he went out on the first journey and he came back and he gave an account of the things that he had done. And the saints all came together and they listened to his activities and what the Lord had done through him. And then there's a verse in Acts chapter 21 when he comes back after the third missionary journey. If you want to look at that one. Acts chapter 21 and verse 19. It says, and when he had greeted them or saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. This is at the end of his third missionary journey. He declared the things that God had wrought in verse 20, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. When they heard it, they glorified the Lord. So it's my hope that after I share a few of these things that I'd seen this summer, that you too might just glorify the Lord. And I share these things with you with the hope that that you'd be built up, that you'd be encouraged, that your appreciation for who the Lord is and what He's able to do or what He's doing will encourage you. You know, I think we need to be mindful of the fact that even though there seems to be so much chaos going on in the world right now, the Lord is still at work. And I think the Lord's doing, my guess is He's doing a lot of great things. You know, you think that with all this chaos, that all what's going on, well, I'll tell you, I think the Lord is doing something serious. He's permitting it for a much, much larger plan. We know that He's not willing that any would perish. You mean let 6,000 people die, and He's not willing that any would perish. He's not willing that any of them would perish. My guess is that this compassionate, loving God, my guess, you know, I've got a buddy that's in the 42nd Street subway terminal that preaches 6 or 8 hours at a crack. Goes in at 6 or 8 o'clock in the evening and just preaches till 1 and 2 in the morning. Just preaches and preaches, and the crowds grow. As the trains slow down, the crowds grow. 42nd Street. It's likely that that'd be a main terminal. A lot of people are coming through, and this guy preaches for hours on end. These people, my guess, the Lord is compassionate. He is good. And man will be without excuse. My guess is, the Lord is doing a work. The Lord is doing a work. And with what I've seen this past summer, I can tell you that there's reason to be encouraged. not only about what's going on out there, but even be encouraged about what's going on in here in light of some of the places that I've seen. In early July, I spent a week down at Yonkers. It's a very small meeting. There's maybe 20 there. And 20 may not sound like too bad of a number, but if there's no real unity, if there's no real communication amongst the saints, if there's no real leadership or guidance, if a lot of people are coming in and just taking off the Sunday meeting, maybe two or three come to a prayer meeting, that could be rough. There is one family there that invited us down. This guy's really encouraged, and so there were three of us that went down, and we spent the whole week. Every day, three or four times a day, we'd go out for two and a half hours at a crack and just go into the city parks and preach and gather the kids all around, and we'd have 20 or 30 kids sitting before us, and we'd have them sing songs, and we'd do a paintboard message with them and talk to the kids and give them tracts and give them Bibles and have conversation. And we'd do this day after day after day, and these kids would come around. They'd say, "Are you coming tomorrow? Are you coming tomorrow?" And by the end of the week, it was as if they were disappointed that we weren't coming back the next day. But you know, there's work like that that could be done on a daily basis, whether down in Yonkers or right in Buffalo, maybe perhaps not through the winter months, but right here in the Blaisdell area, right here in the Buffalo area. There's kids in parks locally that would come there every day and that we could minister to if anybody felt so led to be involved in that type of work. Another blessing that we had found down there as well is the opportunity to give out tracts. And we went into this business district area, and it was very busy. And one thing that the Lord has, I believe, has not only burdened me with, but actually given me a joy, and I think this is part of the gift, in that if He gives you a gift, it's as if it's a joy in using that gift. Whatever it is, it's teaching, my guess is, if the Lord's gifted you to teach, then my guess is you're really experiencing a joy when you teach. If it's a miserable chore, maybe it's not your gift. Not to say that you still can't be used to some measure, but maybe it's not your gift. But I do notice that the Lord gives me a real joy as I go out into the streets like that and just raise my voice and begin to preach. Quote scripture verses. Speak to people that are standing around. This summer found that the Lord has just burdened me and shown me the results and the benefits of just standing in front of a group, like in front of a bus stop, where there's 15 or 20 people standing there and they're not going anywhere, to just speak to them. And you can carry through a few minutes of a message, 3 or 4 minutes, you bring some scripture verses, challenge them, and then give them God's word. And I can tell you, I noticed that even locally here, that people leave from where they are and they will walk to me and they will ask me, "Can I have one of those? Can I have one of those?" And I sense that there is a real hunger as the word is given forth. And there is something about preaching. There is something about that the Lord uses. I notice it. I see that, you know, in these travels, I've seen Mormons out in the streets. Sometimes I go into the city and there's half a dozen of these guys in there. Half a dozen. Today I was in there and there's two or three. They're sitting around. And as we were down in the Yonkers, I saw a pack of these guys walking by. These guys are diligent. These guys are out there. But I noticed that, and I've challenged a couple of them. I said, you know, I noticed that the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Catholics, they aren't preaching. I said, "Why don't you preach? Have you got a message to preach?" And they say, "Well, we just like to, and you know what they... Praise the Lord, what I find them giving out, and even they're even timid about doing this, is that they have these little cards and their 800 numbers for calling in for a Latter-day Saints video. So they're like meekly kind of standing, hoping that maybe someone will walk up to them and then they might hand them one. So praise the Lord that the timidness, that quietness is a part of them. But nonetheless, the people I think are responsive. As I'm in there and as I'm out there speaking, I do notice that having the right kind of track is also an important thing, something that you really, really want people to read, sincerely want people to read. Not somebody just going to scan it. You really want people to read it. And what the Lord has settled me on, because that was even one of the excuses, I'd say, "Well, I might pass some people up. If I had a track about something, you know, sometimes it's like this nature of ours, we are a respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care whether that guy looks like he's a lawyer or whether he looks like he's drunk on the street. But this nature about ours, I think we are respecters of persons. But the Lord has settled me with these miniature Bibles. They're just 50 Bible verses. And I can tell you my desire sincerely is that every single person really gets this and reads this. Because I know it's God's Word. And because I know within my own life that prior to me getting saved, it was only about two verses that the Lord used to grab hold of me. Just two. I couldn't shake. And so here's 50 that if people could just read, and as I preach and give them out, I'm really encouraging them. You read these. This is God's Word. You know, it's not fables and fairy tales. The world will tell you that, but all Scripture is given by, and I'll just continue to quote Scripture to them. And it's like people are turning. They're like tapping me on the shoulders to get past me, and I'm turning around and giving them to them. There's something about just the preaching of the Word and having a real joy and confidence about what it is that you're giving out. While I was down in Yonkers, I had the privilege also of going into the Yonkers mission, doing a good work there. It's a mission that was, I had a number of years ago, like 40 years ago or something, and started by some men that were preaching down there in one of these little parks, just a little rinky park where they're preaching each week or a couple nights a week, and they did it for years, rain, snow, whatever, and they preached, and guys started getting saved and coming into the meeting, and they decided to go a step further and open this mission, and it's still going on to today, and they're doing a really, really good work. I was blessed with the privilege to be able to go to 2 weeks down to Camp Lilolai, and I would encourage you, if you have opportunity, to make the time to do that. Without commenting too much, here again, as the Word's given out, if you go sometimes to places or you hear God's Word given out, if you get impressed with the fact that maybe the Lord's speaking to me with that verse, take it from the Lord. You know, sometimes you hear a message and you hear a radio or someone will say something and you say, boy, I'm hearing that. Listen to it because it's the Lord trying to speak to you. The verse for the first week of preaching 2 was, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That was the one of the preteen 2 verses. And preteen 3, it was just along those same lines. It was in Romans. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So I found myself memorizing these verses for myself, really being convicted that the Lord would just have me to go. One of the blessings that I had also been a part of was to see Uncle Dave go to the hospital, to see him get loaded into the ambulance, and to hear that he talked with the two AMTs and said, you know, I don't know why this happened to me, but maybe it's because of you. Maybe because you need to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he died for your sins. And so he gives the two EMT guys the gospel. And as he went to the hospital, went inside the hospital, I sat in the room with him, and the nurses would file in, and they'd all get tracts, and the doctor would come in, and he'd tell the doctor, you know, I don't know why I'm here, but maybe it's because of you. And he would give the guy, you know, he'd talk to the guy as to where he's going to spend eternity. And that was really encouraging. I thought, this guy may be going out. This may be it. He's going out. And I said, wouldn't this be the way that I'd like to go out? The Lord was going to take me out. And so I was really encouraged from that. And so it almost encouraged me as I was out giving information to the one secretary. I said, this guy in there, I'm sure that he'd like you to receive this. I'm just sure about it. And so I would give a tract to this lady. I'm just convinced he'd like to do that. And so even as I got out, I'm waiting for Uncle Dave, and there's a guy standing there as Uncle Dave's getting out into the car. There's a guy standing next to me, and I don't know, he's talking about the economy and how poor it is. And here comes Uncle Dave, and I'm thinking, I've got to say something to you. And he's talking about how poor the economy is and how I lost my job. And I would quote, what does it profit a man? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And I said, Uncle Dave, do you know what is the end of that verse? What does it profit a man? I was just telling him, what does it profit? And Uncle Dave quotes the verse. And Uncle Dave, struggling out, get back in his car, and he pulls out a tract and gives it to the guy. So that was a real blessing and an encouragement to me. After the a couple of weeks at camp, I also attended the Ezekiel Project, week number two of a two-part series, the first week of which I attended a couple of years ago. And they had 20 to 30 people down there out preaching the gospel on the streets and in parks. And we did basically the same thing. We went into the parks and preached to the kids. We'd gather them up. We went into Harlem and into the Bronx. Those names alone are enough to intimidate you and to make you have fear and trembling. But actually, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad. We went into Harlem, and it was about a block, probably a city block, and there was dozens of high rises, 30 stories maybe, and just a ton of apartments in this immediate area. And we go and gather up the kids and bring them all around. And so we would set a board here, a paint board here, and a paint board over there, and just surround the whole place. And then all the kids would come running to the ones, and we preach the gospel to the kids and give out tracts. And we also went to local parks. And praise the Lord, one of the ladies that was with us, she was a dear older sister. She was around 70 years old that was with us, and she had led four, like 12 to 13 or 14-year-old girls to the Lord. And they had sat through one of the meetings, and she had a long discussion with them and was able to give them all Gospels of John, and they all had trusted the Lord while we were down there. But literally hundreds and hundreds of tracts went out, and Bibles were given out to people that would ask for them or people that seemed to really have an interest. Also, we were out there too, and I think this is another part that the evangelist has in the edifying or the building up of the body, is when you're out there, the encouragement that it is for the saints. As Christians come by, they are really built up. I mean, they are really, really encouraged. Wherever we were, Christians would come past us and they would say, praise the Lord, you keep doing this. I'll pray for you. You keep doing this. There was one lady down in the park in the Bronx, and she has a ministry like a neighborhood backyard Bible club or something. And she says, I have about 50 kids that come. She said, is there any way you can come tomorrow and I could have all these 50 kids here? We said, well, we're just here for today. We're not going to come back tomorrow. But she gave us her number and everything. If we come back maybe next year, or if they go back into that area next year. But there's work going on out there. There's believers that are out there that are doing the work. And that's really, it's very, very encouraging for them to see. And it's encouraging for us to hear as well. I might say as I came back from the week, or after we got, I think I started before the youth conference, but I was traveling through the city this day, and I don't know if this happens with you married people, but us single guys, we talk to the Lord all the time. It's like no matter where we are, we're talking to Him, right? And so I'm driving through the city, and I see that there's a crowd down there, and I see two Mormons sitting there. And I thought to myself, whenever I see these guys, when I see Jehovah's Witnesses, or I see Mormons walking around, I think to myself, what am I doing right now? What am I doing? In light of knowing that they're going and giving out the word, what am I doing right now? And so as I drove through the city, I see these two Mormons standing there, and I thought, this is it. Lord, this is it. I'm pulling in. And I pulled in. There's a parking space right there. I get out of the car, and I go and talk to these guys, and I went, and I just continued to go. I can tell you that the enemy is diligent. He's busy. Last night, I was visiting my aunt in the city of Buffalo. I came back about 8:30 at night. And personally, I was just of the mind that, like, all the Mormons are gone home and go to sleep. You know, like at 8:30 at night, give me a break. These guys are, like, rusting, right? Well, 8:30 at night, I cruise down through South Buffalo, driving home, and I see two of these guys, white shirts, blue pants, and a backpack, standing there talking to a group of kids. Wow, look at these guys. They're diligent. And to think, assuming that they're doing this all with the strength of the flesh, they're not doing, the Spirit of God's not leading them, not giving them the boldness. I guess it's fear. I guess they're doing it out of fear, right? to motivate them to be so diligent. Well, and I guess just with 1 second, with 5 seconds already, or 5 minutes already gone, I'll just mention that I did spend time at the Tillmans, and they're really doing a good work down there as well. They have their own way of doing things, but praise the Lord, the kids are coming in. And they're singing songs to the kids, they're feeding the kids, they're giving Bible stories, and if you'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, we'll just take a look at the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old Bible, memory verse that these kids had memorized, and I heard them quote it on the last day, and I thought to myself, well, Lord, they've got one up on me, because I haven't had this committed to memory. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Let's read it. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It was the memory verse for these poor kids in the inner city, many of them not even knowing who their father is, some of them that have mothers that are addicts, some of them being raised by grandmothers. There's a lot of work to be done out there. There's a lot of work to be done. I would encourage you, to examine the time that you have. I've known the Lord 10 years. It's been 10 years now. I begin to examine as to what I've done over the 10 years. And sometimes I get to the end of the day and I think to myself, Lord, boy, what else could I have done? How much more could I have done? I think we need to realize that the time is short with what's going on in the world. You know, the Lord coming back soon. How long is he going to wait? My guess is the time is short. Let's be encouraged from knowing that the work is going on. And might these thoughts challenge us to examine our own lives and in light of all that needs to be done, in light of what we know. You know, sometimes I sense I know too much. I know too much already to take in more. But let's give out what we have. Let's just give out the word. Like Jim had said, we just give the word out. The Lord grabs hold of people. Just give it out. And pray that the Lord would growth and save. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just rejoice to and delight to know you, to be saved and to be brought into this wonderful family. And Father, yet in light of all this, we recognize that the world around us just is struggling and can't make sense of anything, and even fearful. And Father, just continue to encourage our hearts and continue to bring us along. And Father, help us to get past the whatever measures of shame there might be in associating ourselves with you, and bring us to a point of even praying for boldness for ourselves, just to give the word out, knowing that its rewards pay eternal benefits. Help us to live in light of eternity. We just commit ourselves into your hands. We pray your blessing now as we depart and on the balance of our lives, Lord. We ask these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.